Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Any trouble?
Of course. Smooth to charge you that. Actually, wait. So, okay. So, everyone should have a packet. And tonight's discussion is about the shofar. What will you hear when the shofar blows? And but in order to internalize the message of the shofar, we first have to trace the source of where we find the shofar in the Torah and in Jewish history, and then perhaps we could understand what it represents and what is the message of the shofar, and then we can know what we can hear for when the shofar blows. So, the first page, you should have a few different pictures. Open up.
Can you put my
color
on the
page? No. Dan's going to bring it, but... Okay, so... So, in the middle, we have the shofar, and that's obviously being blown on Rosh Hashanah. And then we have different pictures where we're going to connect the different occasions and incidents where the shofar is blown, and that will give us an appreciation of what's going on, and then we can understand what the shofar is all about. So, okay, the first page, we turn to the next page. The first page is important to be very clear that even when we try to understand the message of the shofar and what it represents and all the different ideas behind it, the Rambam says that really it's gzeiros hakasuv, that a mitzvah we can never fully understand. It's so much greater and far more powerful than we could ever even begin to imagine. And a few years ago, I was actually taking a walk with my father, and he's the principal of the Ner Israel High School. So one of the things that he does is that he's in charge of the lights for the football field and the basketball court. So he pulls out his phone, and he dials a number. And he gets the answering machine, and then he types in a few more numbers, and all of a sudden, the lights turn on. He turned on the lights from his phone, just dialing a few numbers. So I remember I was blown away. It was unbelievable. He types in a few numbers, and the lights turned on. And the same is true when you blow the shofar, when you do any mitzvah, the lights turn on. You may not be able to see it, but in Shemayim, the lights are turning on, and it accomplishes major things, and that's far more powerful than we can ever understand. Okay, so if I would ask you, what is more powerful, a smartphone or the shofar, what would you say?
I have to say shofar.
Oh, you're just saying that because you're sincere. Yeah. Okay.
I have a question. Did you say Ner Israel has a football field?
They do. Now, it's not a whole official one, but it's something. It does the job.
Wait till I tell Yakis.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right. Yeah, we do have a football field.
Well, shofar can't get me.
We need
from here to New York with a GPS.
Okay.
So, I don't know. My smartphone seems pretty useful.
Right, okay. That's a good point. So, we're going to see. Maybe you'll change your opinion later on this year. Okay, now let's turn to page two. Or three. Okay, the next page, we have a question. There's a great debate and controversy in halacha about the mitzvah of the shofar. What is the mitzvah of the shofar? Is it to hear the shofar or to blow the shofar? So what would you say? Maybe you have some proof.
We'd only required to blow it if that was the mitzvah.
So are you required to make kiddush on Shabbos? Is your wife required? Do you both make kiddush or one of you makes kiddush? Maybe she can fulfill it by listening to you. But really the mitzvah of like kiddush is to actually say the kiddush. So maybe the shofar as well is really a mitzvah to blow the shofar. And we just fulfill that by listening, and it's as if we blew the shofar as well. So which one would you say? Which is the mitzvah? To blow it or to hear it?
So depend on the bracha, right?
What?
Depend on the bracha itself.
Okay.
By the Megillah, it says, Al Mikra Megillah,
okay.
By shofar, you say, Shmoah.
Okay.
Very good.
So that would be the answer.
Okay. So it happens to be, I think there are some opinions that actually have a different text to the bracha. They would, according to them, they would actually say Litzkoa or Al Tekiya Shofar. But
say that in English.
They would use the words to blow the shofar instead of to hear the shofar. In the bracha they would say. So basically it's true that from what we do you could prove that the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, but it's still a big question, and the other opinion would actually change the bracha. They would say different words. They would say to blow it, you know, to blow the shofar. They would say that in Hebrew.
Well, the person who's blowing is doing both.
Okay, that's true. So the question would be, what happens if you're in a situation where you can't hear the shofar, but you could blow it? Like, what if the person is deaf? Or you could have the opposite, where a person could hear the shofar, but let's say someone else blew the shofar who wasn't obligated in the mitzvah, but at least you heard it. But there was no one blew it that could, fulfill it for you.
That's a good question. Can a woman blow the shofar and then hear it?
Right. So if the mitzvah is just to hear it, then it could be. It could be, that would be, that would be okay.
It's not a shofar.
Uh-huh. Okay. So actually, does anyone else have any proofs they would like to share?
I don't know how it fits in, but if I blow shofar for somebody, after the shul, when I blow shofar for the women, would hear it during davening, so one of the women makes the bracha.
Okay.
So they are making the bracha. I might be blowing it, but they're making the bracha because I already fulfilled the mitzvah. So they're making the bracha so they can fulfill the mitzvah for sure.
Okay, but
I don't know how it fits in, but
uh-huh.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay, but I think also with Kiddush you could do that as well. Okay, I'm not sure. So happens to be,
does it matter if the person's obligated? If I'm hearing, let's assume that hearing is fine, that fulfills the mitzvah that I have.
Okay.
Does it matter if the person that I'm hearing is obligated or not to blow? Whether it's a man or a woman, are there points where a man is not obligated? I mean, I assume I'm not obligated because no one said to me, Bruce, you got to learn how to do this.
Okay, I think it would make a difference. I think you would have to be obligated.
You would have to hear somebody who's obligated.
Exactly. Okay. What were you going to say?
My next question is it considered time-bound? Is it time-bound at Shabbat?
It is, because it's only on Rosh Hashanah.
So why have women obligated to
do it? So it's something that they took on, like, as a minhag, but from the Torah, like, technically they would not have to. That makes sense?
I'm not
coming. All right. Fine.
Just starting it on.
We just down two.
Okay, fine. Okay. So, actually, I believe that both are part of the mitzvah. There is, it's required to hear the shofar and to blow the shofar. And, secondly, these parts of the mitzvah, both of these parts, represent a very deep idea. And really what it represents is that through the shofar, we are communicating with Hashem. We have to hear the shofar, because we have to hear the message from Hashem. He's talking to us. And then we also have to blow the shofar because we're talking to Hashem. We're calling out to Him. And that's why both are part of the mitzvah. You have to hear the shofar. You have to hear the message. And then we also have to blow the shofar and cry out to Hashem that He should hear us. Okay. So, let me explain where I'm coming from. Now, if we turn to the next page, you'll see that it's a picture.
That.
What's that?
How is it that the speaker and the listener are the same person?
Well, it's basically like communication. You know, most times when you talk to someone, you listen to them, and then you also respond. Or you could talk to them, and then you listen to what they have to say. So it's two-way. It's a two-way form of communication.
Oh, yeah. You said that Hashem is speaking to us through the shofar, but we are blowing it. So, I don't understand that.
Okay, that's a good point. I would say it's still a call to us from Hashem.
Because we're commanded by?
Yeah, that would make sense.
So maybe say differently.
Okay.
When you're blowing a shofar, it's as if you're speaking.
Okay.
When you're speaking, you cannot hear a sound that's coming from a different place.
Okay.
So you would have to say that it's coming... It is what you're saying, coming for the shofar.
not two separate things. Otherwise, you would be koneh one. You would be fulfilling one, but not the other.
Well, I would say by blowing the shofar, we are calling out to Hashem, and it's almost as if Hashem is calling out to us.
But you're also hearing it at the same time.
Right.
Just like when
exactly.
you're speaking, I hear myself speaking.
Exactly.
So I am simultaneously hearing and speaking.
Right, so just a very technical question. It's a beautiful idea, but
okay.
what's the technical, down to the technical level of the mitzvah? Is
okay.
it to blow it? Or
so,
is it to hear it?
Like, so I believe there's an opinion
blow it or not.
That they're both are important. And both are part of the mitzvah. There's two aspects. You need to have both.
So should everyone be holding a shofar and blowing it together?
No, because just like Kiddush, you have one person say the Kiddush. And even though everyone has to say Kiddush, one person does it for everybody. He has them in mind, and then it works with Shemei Kona. It's as if they are saying it. It's the same with the shofar. One person blows the shofar, and it's as if everyone is also blowing the shofar. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
He has to have it in mind.
Right. Right, then you have to have them in mind. Okay. So now, in the next page, we have this picture of Matan Torah. That's supposed to be Har Sinai. Actually, it's drawn by my mother. Oh, yeah? Okay.
I thought maybe it was you.
You recognize it? Fine. So this is a picture of Matan Torah. Because we know that the shofar was first blown at Matan Torah. Okay? And there was a very powerful sound of the shofar being blown. And there was no echo. It didn't stop. It was so powerful, it didn't stop. And so this represents, I'll explain in a minute, Hashem calling out to us. The Torah being given to us is Hashem choosing us as His nation, and Hashem gave us our mission to represent His name and sanctify Him and bring honor to His name in this world, and that's our mission. So when the shofar is being blown, it's really Hashem calling out to us that we have a mission to sanctify His name and bring honor to His name in this world. And that's represented by the whole Torah. All of the Torah is instructing us to, on the personal level and a national level, to live by the word of Hashem and to bring honor to His name. And additionally, not only is Hashem calling out that this is our mission and our purpose, it's also our potential. And sometimes, you know, we look back from the whole year and there, you know, maybe we didn't live up to exactly how Hashem wanted us to. But Hashem is reminding us that we always have the potential to follow the Torah and to reconnect with Hashem no matter what. And where do we find this? We also find this idea by Yovel. The shofar was blown at another time in history. Every 50th year, there was the Yovel ceremony, or whatever you want to call it. And what took place was the slaves would go free. Okay, and they blew the shofar. Why did they blow the shofar? Because the shofar is reminding us that you could go free. You're not stuck in all the bad habits that accumulated over the year, and all the things we feel like we can't grow and we can't improve our ways. The shofar reminds us, no, that you could break free from your bad habits and you could improve your ways. So that is all Hashem calling out to us, to remind us of our mission and our potential. Okay, next page. Then we also know that on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar, we're asking Hashem to remember Akedas Yitzchak. Right? This is what we have in the laning. We're laying about Akedas Yitzchak. Why do we laying about Akedas Yitzchak? Because that's a merit that's going to help us. Now, it's actually one of the greatest merits. In the Slichos, it always mentions Akedas Yitzchak. So, but there's a big question that the great rabbis ask. Okay? So we know that there's a great merit. Avram was ready to sacrifice Yitzchak, to give up his only son, his son who was going to fulfill his whole mission and everything that he wanted to accomplish in life. And his son was going to start a new nation. He waited so many years to have children, and finally he had a son, Yitzchak. And Avram was ready to sacrifice Yitzchak to Hashem. Okay? But the question is that, you know, throughout history, there are many, many Kedoshim, many holy Jewish people that also were ready to give up their lives, you know, throughout, you know, history in Europe, and the pogroms and the Holocaust. There are many communities and individuals who are just as ready to give up their lives. So why do we mention Avram and Yitzchak, Kedas Yitzchak? Why was that so significant? Many people were able to do the same, right? That makes sense? So one of the answers that these great sages teach us is that really, you know how we were able to do it all throughout history? Because through Avram and Yitzchak, it was ingrained in our DNA and our national personality, this ability to give up everything for Hashem. And when Hashem wants us to do something, then that's all we want to do. And this is our essence. And this is what we are calling out to Hashem with the shofar. We're asking Hashem, remember that all we really want is just to do your will. And we just want to follow the Torah. But unfortunately, sometimes we get a little distracted, or we stay focused. But ultimately, this is what we want. And that's why it's such a great merit that we want Hashem to remember. Because it's not just what took place with Avram and Yitzchak at the Kedesh Yitzchak. It's in our own personality and our own potential that we are ready to give up our lives and to do anything, whatever Hashem wants. Okay? Okay. Now turn to the next page.
Was asked to give up
his son. Okay. And
other experiences that we're talking about, which is one thing to
sacrifice
yourself.
Okay.
But that was to me, unique. I don't know, you know, seeing that as different.
Okay.
Greater
things to sacrifice
yourself?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Very challenging thing to do.
Who do you think did a greater act of sacrifice? It was a harder challenge for? Avram or Yitzchak? Who would you say it was harder for? So on one hand, what you're pointing out is Avram, it was his son. Maybe it's harder to give up one's son. I don't know. But on the other hand, Yitzchak, it could be he had an even harder test. Because Hashem told Avram, give up your son. Hashem never came to Yitzchak. So Yitzchak actually expressed an even greater act of trust and faith. Because he didn't hear it directly from Hashem. So I don't know exactly which one was greater. They talk about it. And maybe you have an opinion. But what we do take out from that is how that what they did gave us a certain personality and a certain character. And that is in our essence, and that's what we ask Hashem to remember, and that merit, we should have a good year, and Hashem should treat us favorably. So it could be Avram did a greater thing. That could be. But it still gave us this personality that stands in our good merit.
Yeah, Mrs. Ruffin was saying she thought it was much stronger, a better thing than probably anything else in history. So that's the best way to start, I guess.
That could also be true.
Avram and Yitzchak, that whole Akeda was no one could ever imagine doing something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly.
So that's why whatever little thing in our life that we think is crazy hard, hopefully Hashem's, because of that gives us the strength to handle our thing, which we think is hard. Probably not as hard as the Akeda, but...
Right. Okay, that could be another answer. Fine. So, there's another instance where the shofar comes into play. Okay? Does anyone know? You could look at the sheet, you'll see. The story of Yericho. When the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael the first time, led by Yeshua, they surrounded the city of Jericho, and they blew the shofar, and the walls came tumbling down. Not only that, they sunk into the ground. So, let me ask you a question. Okay, what would you say is more powerful? Okay, earlier we asked about the shofar versus the smartphone. How about the shofar versus a nuclear bomb? What would you say to that?
That's a tough one. We have to ask Khomeini on that.
That's true. Okay.
If you have a mustache that's blowing, it's the shofar.
Okay. Now, what do you think? Any opinions?
He asked about the shofar, he asked about the wall. Just saying.
What do you think?
All right, we have to go with shofar again.
Okay, why? What do you mean? The nuclear bomb killed thousands of people. The shofar just took down the wall.
It's just a sound compared to
that's
a bomb.
The bomb did what it was supposed to do. A wall sinking down on the ground is completely out of nature.
Okay.
The bomb killed. The chauffeur saved people.
Okay. That's very good.
Okay. Very good. Says that a chauffeur just inspire people to repent. So if they can do that, I would say it's certainly more powerful than
okay.
The
wrong. Very good. Very good. Okay. You have anything? Anything? Anyone else hear anything? Okay. So here's the thing. A bomb is limited to the physical world, right? And a smartphone has its limitations too. It allows you access to communicate with anyone across the globe. That's true. That's pretty powerful. But the shofar connects you with Hashem, and that's unlimited potential. And that's the idea that we explained, that the shofar is our communication with Hashem. It's Hashem calling out to us, and it's us crying out to Hashem. And therefore, in my opinion, I think the shofar is far greater than a nuclear bomb. Okay, but that's my opinion. Fine. But there's another question. Why is it so important for the shofar to be our means and form of communication to Hashem when, you know, the whole year we talk directly to Hashem? We dive in the whole year. So why all of a sudden Rosh Hashanah do we need to use the shofar? All right, is that a good question? Okay, anyone want to offer an answer?
The holiest day of the year. We're trying to do more than we do the rest of the year.
Yeah, we're not okay. Doing it.
Waking us up.
Yeah, okay. We've still got plenty
that's
of
true.
Time.
No, that's true. Okay,
it's
yes.
I forgot.
Maybe it's less limited than even words.
Okay.
But we can't express in every word.
Exactly. Okay, that's the first answer I saw. So that the shofar... You know, with words, you can only express what you know, and that's it. But you can't really express other thoughts that you have that you don't really aren't aware about. You know, the self-conscious. So the shofar encompasses everything, even what we don't even realize, and just our emotions that we can't even express. That the shofar expresses, and that's, you know, crying out to Hashem to hear everything. Okay? But there's another answer. So the Gemara says that there's a halacha that you're not allowed to use a shofar from a cow. Okay, cows also, they have horns, but that's, you can't, you know, it's invalid. Only from a ram. Why is that? Why can't you use the shofar from a cow? Okay, that's good. That's good.
Because what was it? What's your eagle?
Because a Keilas Yitzchak. That's true. That's true. It's really back then.
Oh.
What do you want to say?
Hashem of the eagle. What's up?
Exactly. Because the shofar from a cow, it would remind Hashem of the Egel HaZav. And right now, all we want is Hashem to remember our good side, our merit. So we don't want anything to do with the Egel HaZav, right? Okay. We don't want to remember the golden cow.
Yeah.
Golden calf, sorry. And that was the first sin, the first Avera that Klal Yisrael committed after receiving the Torah. So we definitely don't want to recall that. But the Gemara says, one second, the shofar is that idea of recalling bad things. Like it's called Ein Kateger Nasas Aneger, which, by the way, is also the reason why the Kohen Gadol cannot wear his golden clothes inside of the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. He can only wear it outside. Because Ein Kateger Nasas Aneger, the gold reminds us of the golden calf, same thing. So the Gemara says, one second, this rule is only a problem when you're inside the Beis HaMikdash, all the way in the Holy of Holies, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But outside, there's no problem, right? So, what's the problem with the shofar? What's the problem with using the a cow's horn? So the Gemara says that since the shofar is to remember our merit, and it's crying out to Hashem. It's as if it's in the Holy of Holies. It's as if you're standing in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, inside the Holy of Holies, where you're right in front of Hashem and crying out to Him. So, here's the thing. Our prayer, our davening, how do we daven? We use our speech. We use our lips. We use our words. And unfortunately, during the year, sometimes people, sometimes we say Lashon Hara, or we say something that we weren't supposed to say, something that made someone feel bad. Ein kateger nasaneger. We don't even want to use our speech and our words, which have residue or something of avera. We don't want to recall anything. We just want the shofar, which is pure, straight from our heart, and that Hashem can remember, and it doesn't have any trace of sin. Okay? So that's another advantage that the shofar has over our stomach field.
So question.
Okay.
The Gemara says it's as if you can't use a cow's horn because it's as if you are on Rosh Hashanah, it's as if you're standing in the Kaddish HaKadoshim, right?
Yes.
Okay, so technical question is how can you be standing in Rosh Hashanah? It's not Yom Kippur.
Because it's only as if.
Okay. But okay. If it's only as if, then
how is it,
how
okay.
Come it's not a...
Because it accomplishes the same thing. You're right in front of Hashem. And the sound of the shofar goes right in front of the Kisei HaKavod.
So is it that, or is it really the first explanation where we don't want to remember the remind of the Egel Asov, and that's why we don't...
No, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So, that rule that we don't want to recall Avera is only when you're standing right in front of Hashem. Okay, this brings us to the next page. Next page, we have a picture of someone blowing the shofar, and it says the word Mashiach. Because we know, and we dive in Shemona Esrei every day, that when Mashiach comes, the great shofar will be blown. The Tekab shofar Gadol Cherusena. And this represents the ultimate vision and the ultimate purpose of the whole world, when everything will come to its perfection, and everyone, there will be peace, and everyone will recognize the ruling of Hashem, that Hashem is the King. And that is what we are hoping for and anticipating throughout all of our davening. Okay. There's a story with the Bedichever Rebbe that at the end of Rosh Hashanah, he would call out in front of the whole shul, and he would say, Hashem, so many thousands of shofars have been blown throughout history in every Jewish community. Please, Hashem, blow your one shofar HaGadol, the one shofar to bring in the final future redemption. Okay, now finally, next page is a take-home message. So, what do we take home? What do we learn from the shofar? So, what I believe is that the shofar is representing Hashem calling out to us, reminding us of our mission, our purpose, and our potential. And we are calling out to Hashem to remember us, remember our potential, remember our essence, that we want to serve you. Now, there's a story where there was a building that was burning down, and the family, they all evacuated immediately, they escaped, and then the fire department showed up. And the fire department, the fire marshal, he asked the family, he said, is there anyone left inside the building? They say, no, there's no one left. One second, there's someone sleeping all the way upstairs. So, and at that point, the whole building was caught in flames. And they said, the only thing we could have to call him, we have to call out to him. He's sleeping. So they scream out, Shlaimi, wake up, wake up. And Shlaimi said, I'm too tired. Don't bother me right now. I'm sleeping. That was one story. Another story is the same thing, but they called out to Shlaimi, and he said, you're right, there's a fire. And he quickly jumped out the window, and he was saved. So I tried very hard to prepare some insight and to share some ideas of what the shofar represents. But there's one question that I cannot answer. And that is, what will you hear when the shofar blows? Thank you for coming, and thank you for participating.
We could ask everyone to fill out these questionnaires anonymously if you so please.